get a word. We said all you need is one word, only speak a word. Well, really the word in the Bible, it says a word. The word itself, when you translate it in Greek, it's called logos. So write down the word logos. Now, there are certain, in the Old Testament, there's a rhema word, but there's a logos. But basically, what is when the scripture, when it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, it was not talking about a rhema word. It was talking about a logos word. And the logos is what, you know, a lot of times people say, you got your word, you got a word, you got a word, you got a word. Anybody heard about that? You got to get a word. Let me get a word on that. Basically, what they're saying, let me get a logos on it. And what logos basically is a thought or intention, desire, or purpose of God. It's a motivation. It's a motivated thought of God. Like if you say God wants to bring you a mate, there's a logos there. It didn't start. It's not something that started with you. You know that that's something that there's something cooking in that area. Or if he's going to bring you finances, there's something cooking in that area. That's the logos. That's the word for the season. So you keep your ear open, and usually he'll confirm the logos with some stuff. But we're going to pick up here where we left off. So we're talking about abundance and the basis of prosperity, and we picked up the abundant life because a lot of people don't really agree with that. They don't understand that. Now, what you want to do is you want to get open in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Now, we know that in one portion of Scripture, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. Everybody say the word life. And that life more abundantly. God wants us to have a life. Well, a Zoe kind of life. What kind of life do you believe God wants you to have? Abundant life. Abundant life. There's a whole lot more to abundant life than we could possibly imagine. So we're going to break down the lifestyle that God wants us to have. Now, many people get into church, they get into religion, they get into things, and all they pick up is rules and regulations. But they never pick up the quality of life that comes from when we live according to those standards. A lot of people teach, do this, do this, don't do this, don't do this. Anybody ever got that before? Don't do this, don't do this. Well, listen, if you start to do the things that you could do, if you major on the things that you can do, you won't have time to do the things you shouldn't do. But Jesus came that we might have life and have life more abundantly. And what we need to break down is the word life and the word abundance. Okay? Now, life is the word Zoe. Everybody write down Zoe. Z-O-E. Z-O-E. The Greek word for life, Zoe. Its meaning includes the absolute fullness of life. The absolute fullness of life. The God kind of life which he imparts to man. I had a friend that was going through some circumstances, and I had to give her a word she had an understanding of, and I just called up and said, shalom. Anybody ever heard the word shalom? Shalom. Everybody say, look at somebody and say, shalom. It's a Hebrew greeting, isn't it? And if I look at you and I say shalom, it's like saying, God bless you. And we people sneeze and we say, God bless you. But shalom says, nothing missing, nothing broken. All things put together and all things whole, all things wholesome, everything together. Well, this is the kind of life that God wants us to have. A life fulfilling, a life with purpose, a life with a mission, a successful life. He said, I want you to have a good kind of life with fullness in it, and I want you to have that life abundantly. Now, this abundance is what a lot of people have difficulty with. Abundance is what a lot of people have difficulty with. This is where they say you get into cultism stuff. They say it's okay for you. They say Jesus is an excuse to help you deal with misery. Anybody had that kind of theology? I grew up in that kind of theology. Go to church and just suffer and, oh, look at Christ. He suffered so you can suffer too. Look at his example. Well, that's a nice example. But do you know he suffered so we wouldn't have to? Do you know that? He suffered so that you wouldn't have to suffer. And one scripture in the Bible says, look, he became poor that you could become poor. Didn't it say that? No, it didn't say that. It said Christ became poor that you might be rich. And when you look at throughout all scripture, everybody that followed God, look at every biblical example of someone that honored God, followed God, did what God told them to do, and lived the way God wanted them to live, with the exception of a couple apostles, God blessed them. Now, the word blessed means a whole lot more than, oh, I'm sorry you sneezed. Okay? Blessed means, anybody know what blessed means? The Bible says the blessing of the Lord does something, doesn't it? The Bible says the blessing of the Lord maketh what? Rich. And he addeth no sorrow with it. Now, a good basis for people, before you can even start to talk about blessing, we have been religiously brainwashed with stuff that came out of theology, did not come out of scripture. It came out of a bunch of people making excuses why they can't believe God. Do you know that? Theology is just the study of God, man's perception of the study of God. Some people don't even take, you can go to Bible school, been to Bible school. There are many Bible schools you go to. Nobody believes anything in the Bible school. Nobody believes anything in the Bible school. The longer you get in, the farther they say, now, did he really part the Red Sea? Did he really do this? Was God gay? You hear all kind of stuff. Yes, all kind of things you hear in theological seminaries. Well, a theological seminary would be the exact same equivalent in the New Testament as what? Scribes. There were scribes in the Bible, and scribes lived to study. And they were ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of God. And the more they tried to comprehend God in their head, the more they got tripped up in their head, the weirder they got. You cannot conceive God in your head. It's a spiritual thing. It's a thing by faith. You got to receive him the way that he is. And many people want to get to Christian. They want to base their Christianity on, did Jesus really live? There's several ways that people look at Christianity. I believe that there was a man named Jesus that lived 2,000 years ago. That's nice. Even the demons in hell believe that. Right? There are others that say, now I believe in the philosophy of what I perceive the philosophy of Jesus is all about. Be good, be kind, do unto others as you want them to do to you. And they think that's what Christianity is all about. That's nice, but that's not what it's all about. Somebody look at somebody and say, that's not what it's all about. It's all about knowing God. It's all about knowing God, not about God. That's a big difference to know about somebody. Now, you can know about George Washington, but do you know George Washington? That's why George Washington isn't God, because you don't have the ability to know George Washington, because George Washington's dead, right? You can know about me, but do you know me? How many of you know your perception of something changed when you know about someone, the difference between knowing somebody? Well, Christianity is all about being in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is what? God, right? And God is what? Spirit. So Christianity is all about a spiritual. It's a spiritual thing. And that's what the Pharisees, the scribes, and the Sadducees had a hard time dealing with. There were a whole group of people that didn't even believe in the resurrection of the dead. And they didn't believe in any supernatural thing. And that's the problem in the majority of the churches in America today. We believe in the concept of Christianity, the philosophy of Christianity. I mean, we can believe in Winnie the Pooh. Winnie the Pooh was a nice guy. And if you just did all the things that Charlie Brown told you to do, I mean, you'd be okay. Well, that's how many people look at Christianity. But Christianity is an experience with God, a supernatural force that does manifest himself. And Paul had a lot of problems with churches and people that just talked about Christianity, that just talked about God, but never experienced God. So anything that we get out of God, you need to challenge it and expect something to come back at you. Now, Jesus came that you might have life and have that life more abundantly. And the word abundant means beyond. Beyond. Excessively. More than enough. Now, there's one of the words for God that they use in the Hebrew culture. And one of the words for God is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. But do you know one of God's names is called El Shaddai? But do you know what that name basically means? It means the God of more than enough. Say the excessive God. He's the God that does more than enough. And that's what God, the longer you get to know God, the more that you get to know God, you must know his name. And to know his name is to know him. And there are many names of God. And when it's basically said to know the name of God is to know God, is as you experience life, you're going to learn something. Anybody been in the bind? I was in a bind. But there was a name that I knew, and the name was Jehovah Jireh, God, my provider, that gets you out of a bind. Jehovah, the deliverer, amen? But the God that we're talking about tonight is Jesus Christ. And the aspect of God that we're talking about is Jehovah El Shaddai, the God that is more than enough. And people are taking advantage of it and walking in it and living in it. And you can too. Now, let's go back to Romans chapter 8, verse 32. And he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now we know that he gave us Jesus. And many times all you hear about is Jesus. Say Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus who gives us an access to God the Father. There's something else out there. You can get into things and miss it. But you need to find out what else is out there. There's a more excellent way. John the Baptist went about teaching and preaching and getting people baptized, preaching Jesus Christ. And in Scripture, in the book of Acts, there were whole groups of people going around, and all they knew about was the baptism of John and being saved. They were baptized in Jesus' name, but they had not known of the second baptism. They all knew of the first baptism, which is the baptism of water, where they tell the world, hey, look, I believe in Jesus Christ. They said, all we knew of the baptism of John, which is the baptism when they were baptized in Jesus' name. They were believers. Do you know there are a whole bunch of people that all they know about being Baptist? All they know about being Baptist, all they know about is getting saved, getting to go to heaven, and going down in water. But they don't know that there is a second baptism where they can get in contact with heaven itself, where heaven acknowledges them. They didn't know about being baptized in the Holy Ghost. Do you know you can be baptized in the Holy Ghost? Do you know that you can be baptized in the Holy Ghost? Anybody Catholic in here? Any Catholics in here? One of the strongest books that we have. Do you know that the Catholic Church itself put out a book right now? I got it called The Christian Initiation. And the Christian Initiation says they believe that the baptism in the Holy Ghost is the true seal of the Christian initiation. And Paul said in the Scripture, he said, whereby we have the seal of the Holy Ghost, which is the seal of our inheritance. So there is a baptism in the Holy Ghost, which is for every believer. Now in the book of Acts, the second chapter of Acts, Paul said this thing is for everybody. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. What was that which was spoken by the prophet Joel? Was it being baptized in water? Absolutely not. Because nobody got baptized in the second chapter of Acts. When the Holy Ghost fell in the upper room, was there any water baptism written in Scripture right there? We believe in water baptism, but none of that stuff went on. But he said, this is for you all. He said that the Holy Ghost, the gift of the Holy Ghost was for every man in the book of Acts, in the second chapter of Acts. So there was something else that people did not know about and can never grasp. There's always something else with God. I was listening to the CD today that was talking about the seasons and times of God. What time is it? How we can get stuck in a rut of our theology by thinking that we know it all, by thinking that's all that there is. There is always something more out there. And we don't ever want to be limited. And it said, he that spared not his only son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God has the ability to give us all things if we could just receive that. Write down the word all things and think about some of the things that he does. Anybody need anything? The best way to prove this is to try God. I mean, you can sit up here and hear somebody talk about it all the time, but you're never going to believe it until you put it to a test. That's why we sat up here and said, write down what you need from God. You need a witness. Paul said, we have not come with enticing words of man wisdom, but power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. So we pray that as we talk tonight and as we teach these basic things and principal things, that God himself would show up to encourage your faith. It's not hard for God to do that, and he will do that. All right. What was the most precious gift God ever gave to mankind? Jesus Christ. The most precious gift that God ever gave to mankind was Jesus Christ. And when he gave us Jesus Christ, he gave us everything. So there's nothing too much for God. Nothing is too much for God. And if I asked you for your house, would you give me your house? No. If I asked you for your car, would you give me your car? No. You definitely wouldn't give me your child. Don't put God in the same bracket as everybody else when it comes to giving and receiving. God lets you know from the start what kind of giver he is. Don't put him in league with the average philanthropist. Don't put him in my league. I might give you a candy bar or a meal out, but I haven't given you a child. The league of God's giving is he gave his only son. So we know that this man is a big-time giver. What is a house in reference to a child? And the Bible says he didn't even have to give us his son. He chose and was willing to do it. So God is a willing giver. What else does God say he will give us? If he gave us his son, what else did God say he would give us? Read that verse right there, Romans 8:32. What else did he say he would give us? Did it say he would give you all spiritual things? It said all things. So I can expect to receive anything. Now I want you to think about the first thing. on your list that you wrote down, the thing that you were believing God to do for you. Many times when you want to get things from God, you better get a scripture so you can build your faith on the word so that you know you're not out there on a limb anywhere. So if he gave you his son, he will also give you what you're believing him for. What could all things include? Think about it. What could all things include? So we know that if he gave you his son, that stuff is not hard. You're going to get exactly what you're believing for. You might have to wait a bit, but you're going to get it. If you don't let go of your faith, if you don't let go of your confidence, you are going to get exactly what you're believing God to get. Think of some outrageous things that you believe God for, and it showed up. If you believe God for it, and you know that's something that you need and it's something that you want, that's not too hard for God. Well, say, well, you might need to make your faith more specifically. Say, I want a husband. You better tell him what kind of husband you want. I mean, I'd start making out the list and start confessing over it and start praying for it. When praying for a mate, how do you pray for a mate? Do you pray for a mate? God, give me one. 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 Nope. Well, you ask, then you pray for the mate that's already there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Many people pray for things. After you prayed for it, you receive it. Then pray for the thing you've already received. What do you mean? How do you pray for the mate you've already received? Well, God gave you the mate the first time you asked for it. You might not know where that mate is yet, but they're there. God's not going to make one up for you. They're there already. God gave it for you. So what you're going to do is you're going to start praying for the mate no matter where they are. If you're believing God for a house, you've asked God for a house, start praying for your house. How do you pray for your house after you receive the house? Lord, I thank you for the house you've already gave me. Now I'm going to work on the walls. Lord, thank you for the carpet in the house in Jesus' name. Lord, it's fine. Give me more vision. You get more specific. You can get up in the morning and say, Lord, I thank you for that man you've given me or that woman you've given me right now in Jesus' name. I pray that he does well in work today. I pray that he does well in work today. God, give him the raise that he needs. Lord, it works. It works. And that's being more specific. Tell me, say, they're out there. He just hadn't found me yet. Praise God. But he said, hey, it may take you 5 years to find, but he'll be prayed up in those 5 years by the time he gets there. And you mark your words and watch the things that you pray. So that's what you talk about. We tell people how to pray for their mate. Many people just put, Lord, bring this one, bring that one, bring this one. No, you ask the first time, and here's you the first time you ask. Then you start to pray for the one that you know is coming. There is no doubt. See, you can pray in unbelief, praying the same thing over and over and over again. That's unbelief. You didn't think he heard you the first time. The first time you asked God, he heard you. Then after that, perfect your prayer by praying more specifically about it. I prayed about Nations Church years ago, way back in 1985. We started praying about Nations Church. I ain't even heard of a place called the Woodlands, Texas. Hadn't even heard of a place called the Woodlands, Texas. Did I pray God give us a church more than once? No. I started praying. After I prayed for the church, I prayed for the receptionist. After I prayed for the receptionist, I prayed for the senior citizens worker. Get more specific with your prayers because you know that it's coming to pass. And it'll show up when it's supposed to be there. So if God gives you his own son, it's not too hard for him to give you a husband. There weren't a whole bunch of sons running around up in heaven. There were a whole lot of men and women running around the earth. God can give you one, and he wants to give you one, but you just got to prepare yourself to receive what God has for you. So we know that God is the God of more than enough, and he's usually willing to do more than you could ever think, ask, or imagine. God's not going to teach you anything through poverty. That's not one of the lessons on his book. Paul said, I've learned how to abound with little, and I've learned how to abound with much. But it didn't say that God made me poor that I could learn. The Bible said, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Well, the Bible also said he will withhold no good thing from us. The Bible says God will withhold no good thing from us. Now listen to this. If God says, listen, I'll withhold no good thing from you, and if we say, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it, that means that sorrow is not a good thing. If sorrow was good for you, guess what? He would have added it with the blessing. Because the Bible says that he will withhold no good thing, including sorrow, if it was good. So say, sorrow not. Sorrow is never, ever, ever good. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, first thing Jesus did before he ever manifested Before he ever did great signs and wonders, what was the first thing he did when he went to town? First thing he would usually do when he go into a town. He'd go into a town and he'd do what? He preached. First thing he did, he preached and he taught. He would go into a place, he'd preach in it. He'd start out teaching. Because when we teach things, what are we doing? We're building your faith and we're giving you biblical things to stand on. Faith is what brings the miracle of God. And faith comes by doing, by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So they usually build a strong case. You're believing God for millions. You're not going to get millions. You're not going to get money until you find out that it's in the word. It's okay for you to have those things. You receive what you hear. So how are you going to get? If you believe for a husband, honey, come every day and listen to everything and apply it to your husband. If you believe in God for that house, come and apply everything you hear to your house. And watch it manifest. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, it says this. This is how you can tell the difference between a blessing and a curse. What you can have and what you can't have. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 28, it shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Wow. Something will happen if I just listen. People don't understand that your blessing comes to you. You hear your blessing. It doesn't just fall out of heaven like apples out of a tree. And then all of a sudden, poof, there it is. Your miracle comes to you. The Bible said, only speak the word. Only speak the word and my servant shall be healed. What you need, you hear it first. You hear it first. Where's your husband? You hear it. You hear it preached first. You hear it taught first. And then there it is. If thou wilt hearken. So we know that blessings come to us as we do what? Listen. That's the first thing. See, all you got to do is hear your blessing, you can receive your blessing. Write it out. Hear it, you can receive it. There are a lot of people that can't get, it's hard to get a person that's dull of hearing to be blessed. That's what he called the Hebrews. In the New Testament, a lot of times, Jesus would say, you dull of hearing people, because God wanted to do so much more for them that they would allow him to do. But they were dull of hearing. Why did Jesus spend most of his time with the apostles teaching them and talking with them? Why? Because everything that's going on in their lives today, he talked it to them. He spoke it, the spoken word. The Bible says in the beginning was the word. The first thing was the word. Notice that God created the earth by what? Speaking. God said, let there be light. There was light. God, whatever God does, he says it first. You know why we pray? One of the main reasons why we pray to tell God what's going on, he already knows. The Bible says he already knows that you have what you have need of before you even ask. So you're not praying to inform God about what's going on. Why do people think that? Isn't that crazy? God, wouldn't that be like God taking us through hoops? People pray silly all the time. It's okay to plead your case before the Lord, but it's really you talking to yourself. God is listening to what you're saying. But prayer is this. When we learn what prayer is all about, we're going to change the way that we pray. Jesus said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The first model prayer that Jesus, he said, Lord, teach us how to pray. In the book of Matthew, when he asked the disciples to teach us how to pray, the prayer that Jesus gave us an example to pray on was the Lord's Prayer, right? In the Lord's Prayer, did you hear any griping? Did you hear any complaining? Do you think there was a lot of stuff going on in Jesus' life right then and there? Was it in the prayer? Lord, you know how we're suffering down here? All these things? No. Jesus prayed answers, didn't he? Jesus prayed what he wanted to have happen. He said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Isn't that amazing? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He says, what's going on in the heavens, ladies? Let it happen here on earth. A prayer life. Why did he have to pray that? Well, didn't it happen? He said, as it is in heaven, let it be here on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Now, Jesus says, for thine is the kingdom. He says, for the kingdom of God is within us. Jesus had us praying for what was already there. Jesus Christ is the kingdom of God. Everything that we need, we get into the kingdom of heaven through Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, I come, I delight to do thy will. So Jesus was the will of God in manifestation. Prayer is a lot different than what we basically think that it is. And we got to understand, if you will hearken if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee, average, on high. So that's a problem that many people think. I will set thee on high above. Read the word above. Do you see the word above? He said, I will set thee on high where? Above what? What did it say? Above what? Above who? All men are created equal. But he said, if you listen to God, he'll set you high above all nations. And that's what some people got a problem with. Those that follow God and hear God's voice, God will put you to the head. The Bible says God wants us to be the head and not the tail. It was God's intention to give us the world. But he said, I will set you on high. And that goes along with the word abundantly. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. And that word abundantly, when it's broken down, one of the things it says above, superior, to the top. Cream rises to the top. Don't you think the best thing that God would ever do to the earth is to have people that follow his laws running the place? How many would love to have the devil as your president? Would you rather work with a devil or a saint? So if God's going to do a good thing, he's going to get somebody that he can work with and take them to the top. You can bless more people at the top than you can from the bottom. You can do a whole lot good with money than you can without money. People act so crazy. Influence is important. You can affect all. God wants you to have influence. That's why he wanted to bless the nation of Israel so much, because they were his representatives. He wanted to hook them up and give them power that they might be an influence. And you can't influence anybody. Begging. God wants to do something within us and something for us. He said, I will set thee high upon all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee. Now, we got to learn now. Because people don't want to obey God anymore, they told us all kinds of things are blessing. People's children's dying. They say, what a blessing. We'll find a blessing in all kinds of stuff. Thank God for your troubles. Thank you, Jesus. My car broke down. I'm giving thanks in all things. I'll give thanks to God, but I'm not going to thank him for my car breaking down. So we got to realize people get religious and just silly. He said, all these blessings, Jesus knows what a blessing is, and God knows what a blessing is. And he's not afraid to call them blessing a blessing and a curse a curse. He said, all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city. Just for listening to the word of God, I'll be blessed in the city. The more I listen, the more blessed I'll be. Okay? And blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground. You know what your ground is? Things that you really got your heart sown into. You know your business would be considered your ground. Your ministry would be considered your ground. Anything you sow into. When you sow into things, anything you care about is what you sow into. Your family could be your ground because you're expecting to reap something back to things you sow into. So blessed shall be the fruit of your ground. And the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shalt thou be in thy basket, and the sword. Blessed shalt thou be when you come in, and when you go out. I'm going to be blessed coming into stuff, and I'll also be blessed going out of stuff. Anybody ever went into a business deal? If you knew the word, you go into business deals a whole lot different. I mean, you go into a business deal because you got a whole lot more, you got money. And when you get money, you think, I got some money and I need to do something with this money. I got to do something. I got something in my possession right now. Well, why don't you get the Bible along with you and say, listen, I'm going into this deal blessed, and I'm not going to be afraid about losing my shirt on this deal. I'm going in blessed, and guess what? I don't know how it's going to happen, but I'm coming out on the end of this thing blessed. When you go for your interview on your job or whatever, to say, look, I'm going into this interview. I'm blessed going in, and I'm going to be blessed coming out of this thing. Somebody say, when I go in, I'm going in a winner, and I'm coming out a winner. Why don't you claim that on your business deal? Does anybody need that? The risk taker is the blessed one. Those that step out in faith. Well, step out in faith, but step out. But faith is in the word. Say, hey, it's God's will for me to get into this business adventure, and I'm going into this thing because I got a little extra cash flow. And when I come out of this thing, I'm going to have a little extra cash flow. Blessed will you be when you go in, and blessed will you be when you come out. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Anything you stepped out in faith to do. Anybody feeling discouraged in anything that you stepped out to do? I mean, you stepped out to do something and you're thinking, maybe I made the wrong decision. I don't know. I mean, ooh, it could be a little bit better. Hang on. And use God's word in that thing and say, listen, I started this thing. I had a mindset. I had a heart to start this thing. I started this thing to win. And I'm going to finish this thing a winner. Say, bless when I come in and bless when I go out. Don't ever leave out of any place not blessed. There was one guy that fought angel all night long. He said, listen, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Somebody, I mean, we went through some hard times in the ministry and in the church here. I mean, money was not going the way that it needed to go. I mean, it was a mess. And one of the promises that we had from Scripture, one of the decisions, I said, listen, God doesn't lead us that way. He doesn't lead us by destruction. I said, listen, we went into this thing blessed. We're going to come out of this thing blessed. I mean, when we started it, the blessing of the Lord came, everybody was just about broke, and they started to prosper all over the place. There is no way in the world that our best year is going to be the year that we had when everybody was broke. We came into this thing blessed, and we're going to go out of this thing blessed. Don't lose in any circumstance. When you're doing what God tells you to do, God's not going to tell you to lose your shirt in anything you do. And the devil will lie to you and get you to think that way, but you need to hold on it like a dog on the bone. I'm going to be blessed in this. I don't care how many contracts I get. Something's going to come out of this for good and not for harm. And that's when we learn to start walking by the word, not walking by our own understanding. It's when we learn not to be quitters. Even when it doesn't make sense, you do it just because God told you to do it. It's going to yield some fruit. Didn't say you'd be blessed coming out of it even if you make all right and smart decisions. There's mercy and there's grace. You can make a dumb decision and know God. The Bible says the blessing of the Lord leadeth men to repentance. If you need to change your circumstance, God will bless you out of your mess. Some people just need a break. See, many people are waiting, you know, they think God wants to beat them. As soon as you learn your lesson, God don't teach us that way. God says the kindness and mercy and love and grace of God leads men to repentance. That's what gets people to turn. Bless them. That's why I say, you know, you need people to repent. Say, bless your enemies. They need to turn around. And the only way your enemies are going to turn around is stop acting that way, acting crazy, is for something good to happen. The only weapons you can only use what you got. You can only use what you got. All right. He said, blessed will I be when I go out, when I come in. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee in one way and flee before thee in seven ways. That is the truth. What does that mean? If somebody comes at you, if I come toward Marty in one way, and if I'm running back the other way in seven different ways, what does that mean? That means that girl tore me up. You know, you got a covenant blessing. If you live the way God wants you to live and you hearken to the word of the Lord, you don't have to fight your enemies. God will fight them for you. He'll cause them to fall apart. He'll cause it to happen. You don't have to worry about your enemies. What a big deliverance. There was one scripture that I really love. It said, for God has delivered us from the strife of men. You don't even have to worry about your enemies. One of the blessings are you don't have to get caught up in small stuff. That's one of the biggest blessings. You don't even have to sweat the small stuff. You can rise above the muck. You don't have to deal with little catty small talk stuff. God deals with it. The minute that you give it to God, he'll deal with it. That is a blessing. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Well, that might be one of the blessings that many people get rich. They got lots of money. When you get money, I mean, the rats come out of the woodwork. Every little cousin that you had, you know, friends that you ain't seen in years, you know, everybody's got a problem. People just come from the woodwork when they find out they can smell money and they can come. But God will deal with that. God will hold you stable in all of those things, okay? So it says, I will be blessed when he'll turn thy enemies up in front of your face. The Lord shall command. I believe in the Holy Ghost. When I say the Holy Ghost, that means I believe in the Holy Spirit. And I know what that means. Say, he will command his blessing. Upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou set your hand on. That means he'll command his blessing on you, the things that you got saved. He'll command his blessing on the things you got saved. And everything you touch, the Midas touch, he'll command his blessing on it. That means anything you get involved with, a blessing will come. A real Christian can bail companies out. Joseph was a man. He wasn't, you know, he was a man that followed God's heart, and anything he got involved with, I mean, it just blessed. Everything you put your hands on is going to turn for good. It should be. When you hire Christians, sales should go up. Really. That's how you find a true Christian and a religious person. When you hire Christians, things should get better and never worse. Because the Bible says, if you hearken unto the voice of the Lord, everything you put your hands to will be blessed. God will command it on you. Not only just say, oh, I just want you to be blessed. He'll command his blessing upon you. Woo, isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? And I know what that word command means. There are certain times I'll be up here and I'll just feel strong impulse. If I could beat a blessing into your head, I would. He'll command his blessing to be upon you. He'll demand it. I mean, he'll be in hot pursuit to bless you. He wants to do it. He's commanded you to be blessed. He said, I would that men would prosper. Isn't it good? All right. He shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So you know you're going to get some land. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God shall give thee. Well, that's a blessing. You know, the Bible says you shall loan to many and not borrow. Yes, it did. It said you will be able to loan to many men and not to borrow. You're going to read that here in Scripture. I like that. The blessing is being able to loan. So you're not really blessed just having enough to pay your own bills. You're not truly blessed until you're able and strong enough to help somebody else. That's the level I want to get to where I can meet somebody else's need. All my needs are met, but I'm able to loan to other ones. And you're not able to loan to people. You know how gun loans and stuff? Here, take it, get it back when you can. If you don't, anyhow, don't worry about it. That's how God loans things. Don't expect it back. But if you borrow something, give it back. Have integrity. But when you loan something, give it. Isn't that nice? Anybody want to borrow some money the last 5 years? How many of you would love to be rich enough to have honored each one time they ask you? The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself as he has sworn unto thee, if thou keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. Now you're not going to be able to keep any commandments that you don't hear about. Right? You're not going to be able to keep any commandments that you don't hear about. All right? And all the people of the earth shall see. All the people of the earth shall what? See. See what? What does that mean? It's natural. It is not a spirit. I'm rich spiritually. I can't see that. Didn't say they would perceive. It said see. There's a big difference between discern and perceive. It said see. All the people of the earth. That means those that aren't so spiritual. That means, I mean, they're just going to be able to see it with their own eyes. So that tells you that these blessings, because you're already blessed in heavenly places, but these blessings are blessings that are natural, that are normal. And we try to spiritualize things. Everybody wants things. We want to push things in the spiritual realm. We don't ever want to put flesh and bones to it. We don't ever want to do that. We don't ever want to make things practical. Just believe what it said. Well, if you start to manifest. Then you'll get to the point, you start someplace, and you get to the point where you're not just brainwashing yourself. You'll see it starting to manifest in your own life. Why do I believe in healing? I've been healed. Yes. Yes. Why do I believe? Most of this stuff you start out believing, but through experience you'll learn, and you'll find out you're able to walk because you'll have a knowledge of what you're walking in. You'll just believe it because you'll see it starting to happen. Anybody starting to see stuff just happen? I mean, you put it to practice. The Bible says, try me and see. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is what? Good. And is what? Mercy endures for just a season. His mercy, it endures forever. If we could just get people in here to taste and see something, isn't that good? To taste it and see it with their own eyes, that God is good and his mercy endures forever, things would be different. Come in here and taste God. Put him to work. Put God to work in your life. I dare you to try some of these principles in your business. I dare you to put him to the test. I dare you. Because you know what? He'll come through true. He'll come through true. These laws are spiritual laws and they're spiritual principles and they'll work for anybody and everybody. They're not going to work if you're sitting up here talking negative all the time. They won't work for you. You'll just blow your money. You'll miss it. But if you really believe it, you really put your heart to it, you try these things, it'll manifest for you. It'll turn around real quick. Now, we're talking about these blessings. Talking about these blessings, and we need to figure out what a curse is. But we understand what God's perception or God's concept of blessing is and what God truly wants to do for us. And God can minister to us. And people think this is really crazy, but God can really minister to us when he gets us out of the heat of things. Notice that God wanted to communicate with man, and when God was willing to communicate, what level did God communicate with Adam and Eve on? When God walked and talked with them, see, that's what God really wants to do. He wants to have a relationship with them. He wants to set the atmosphere. When God made man in his own image, he placed him in a garden, and he would walk and talk with him, and everything was provided, and everything was just perfect. Adam had more than what he needed in the garden, and that's where God communicated with him. He communicated with him on that level. God wants you to be free. Paul said, I pray that thou would prosper and be in health even as thy soul prospers. You listen, prosperity is not going to chase you away from God if your heart is right. Money is not going to chase you away from God. Money is only an amplifier of what you really are. It's all it's going to do is really let you see what you really are. It's not going to change you. It's going to tell you what you really are. If you're a crook rich, you were a crook when you were poor. But you just couldn't tell it. There are a lot of poor crooks. I mean, sometimes they're the most dangerous ones to ever be around in your life. You hear me? Yes. Not just the rich that are thieves and stuff like that. There are a lot of poor people. Where are you at? And wonder why they're not blessed. Wonder why they're not blessed. It's no wonder. It's evident. But I want to let you know this, that as you let God bless you, and if you let God just be good to you, you can't stop it anyhow because that's who he is. The Bible says God is good. You can't change who God is. You're going to be introduced to God. You want to get to know God, then you got to get to know God. And the first thing about God is the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. And when you let God bless you the way that he wants you, then he'll really start to communicate with you the way that he wants to communicate with you. So he wants to set you. Say, he wants to set me high above. And then when you get to, he'll deal with you where you are. But really, God wants to take the cares. He wants to provide for you, take all those things away, all those pressures away so that you can be truly focused on him. It's hard to focus on God when you got bills due. That's not God's intention. He doesn't have to speak to you through tragedies. Oh, he got me out of this. He got me out of that. That's not what it was truly meant. If that how God wanted to communicate with man, he would have brought Adam into the world in a problem. If that's how God was willing to communicate with mankind through difficulty and adversity, then he would have created Adam and Eve and placed them in adversity. He did not place them in adversity. He placed them in utopia. Isn't that crazy? But it's true. It's true. And you will get God on a different level. It's not too hard for God to bless you to the level that he wants to bless you in. Every time anybody in the Bible got out of their mess, they were blessed out of it. Blessed out of it. Blessed out of it. Say, gosh, now I know how he's going to do it. That makes people feel so much better. That makes people feel so much better. I know how God's going to do it. It's going to be a blessing someplace. That's exactly how it's going to happen. Think about some of the messes that you were into. Wasn't it only the blessings that got you out of the mess? There's a lady that's afraid to die right now because she thinks that God's mad at her. God is not mad at anybody. Inspiration is from God. We have to learn. There was a big thing that we did, the importance of inspiration. And the word inspiration is really a ripoff from being inspired by spiritually inspired. That it came from within. From within. And most of the time, people got to learn to trust. The Bible says, no, don't put your confidence in men, but don't be led astray. But it's really talking about don't trust. You got to perceive the difference between your spirit and your mind and your psyche. There's a difference between your psyche and your spirit. You got to get to the point where you worked over in your spirit and you've prayed in your spirit and your God, and you have communion with the Holy Spirit down there, that it's a good spirit and it's okay, to where you can start to be led and start to trust your spirit. That's what it really means when it says walking in the spirit. It just, you don't know why, but it just seems right, just feels right, and you feel led in that direction and you go in that direction. And that's really what walking in the spirit is all about. You know, we do it all the time. That's how we move in a certain thing. You just go by does it seem right in my spirit? Maybe you're thinking, I need to go pray about that. Well, hopefully you've already prayed about it. We believe in praying in tongues. I believe in praying in the Holy Spirit. I'm praying for things way down the road. So, you know, I usually don't go with anybody and say, well, hold on, let me just go back and pray about it. That means you're out of my league. Not because you're praying about something. You should have already prayed about it. I'm to the point where I pray, and I can trust my spirit to tell me, is this wrong or is this right? Is this wrong? I ain't going to say yes or no, right? Right there. I don't need to go and fast and pray. The Holy Ghost leads us by our spirit. A lot of people just get, you know, if you got to go think it up, you missed it. So you can trust the impulses of your spirit and go in that direction. You never know until you walk it out. Just take a direction. Just move in that direction a little bit. And a lot of times people end up being blessed. Brother John Osteen that built Lakewood Church ran that whole church that way. Did you know that? Not one board meeting in the entire church ever. When Baptists got knocked off the front of the church wall, from that moment on, there has never been a board meeting or staff meeting in Lakewood Church, ever. You know what happened? He was just led by his spirit. You know what he did? He just heard God and did whatever he had to do because he had too many people to really deal with. And he said whenever he felt an impulse on his heart toward a person, he would pick up the phone and call it. And then he would, and there were countless people said that he called them right at the right time for the right reason and the right thing happened. Don't be afraid to follow your spirit. Don't be afraid at all to do that. That's where really the blessing of God is. And a lot of people mess themselves up. Really, your blessing is going to come out of your spirit anyhow because heaven communicates to us through our spirit.
You've been listening to Pastor Rod Counselor. It is our prayer that this message has been a blessing to you. You can receive other inspirational teachings from Pastor Rod by contacting Rod Counselor Ministries at 1-800-298-4333. You can also join us at Nations Church in The Woodlands, Texas.